turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. I just want to read a part of a verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 33. We'll look at verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 is the record of the last public act of Moses before his death. In Old Testament days, it was customary for a father to impart a blessing upon his sons or his family just before his death. And this is what Moses is doing here in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses, as the leader of the Exodus from Egypt, was in a sense Israel's father. And he's imparting a blessing. He knows he's dying. In verses 2 through 5, Moses praises the Lord. In verses 6 through 25, he pronounces blessings upon the tribes of Israel. And then in verses 26 through 29, he again is seen praising the Lord. And our text is part of his praise to the Lord. I want to center our thoughts for this message upon those words, O people saved by the Lord. Notice concerning this people, he says, happy art thou. It's not happy you shall be. It is happy art thou. It is present tense. A saved people ought to be a presently happy, cheerful, gratified people. A people saved by the Lord ought to be a presently thrilled and exhilarated and ecstatic, excited and jubilant people, a people filled with delight and gladness. The reason for the happiness, saved by the Lord. That is the reason for happy art thou. Why are we happy? Saved by the Lord. And that doesn't change. So therefore, this happiness is present tense. Notice also that this saved people are an extraordinary and distinctive people. It says, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Not everybody is saved. So this is a very unique people. Who is like unto thee? We are not to be like everyone else. We are not to blend in. We are to be different. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? So that'll be our subject this morning. A saved people. And I pray that we who can identify with, O people saved by the Lord, would go from here today with our hearts bubbling over. And I pray that if you cannot identify with those words, and you either can or can't, I pray that if you cannot identify with a people saved by the Lord, that today you before this service is over, you would be able to. And that you too would go from here thrilled, exhilarated, and jubilant. Notice, first of all, O people saved by the Lord. For there to be a saved people, there must be one who saves. There has to be a Savior. To be saved means that we have been rescued. People have been saved from burning houses. People have been saved from drowning. Someone saved them from a burning house. Someone saved them from drowning. So no matter what angle you look at a rescue, someone did the rescuing. So when we say we are a saved people, that means that we have been rescued. We have been spared from something. We have been the recipient of the act of saving. We have been the recipient of the act of rescuing or sparing. So the very word saved, there is the implication that someone did the saving. There must be someone who did the saving. Now our text reads, O people saved by the Lord. By the Lord. We read in Psalm 65 verse 8, Psalm 68 verse 19, Psalm 79 verse 9, Psalm 85 verse 4, the phrase, the God of our salvation. He's the rescuer. And in Psalm 3 and verse 8, we read, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. More specifically, it is stated in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world with the intent to save, to rescue sinners. Therefore, in Matthew 1 and verse 21, Joseph is instructed, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So there is a Savior. It was the intent of Jesus Christ to save. It is plainly declared in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby men must be saved. Referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior of sinners. So when we're talking about a saved people in a spiritual sense, we're talking about a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Now salvation is so great. It is so magnificent. It is so wondrous that it can come only through Jesus Christ. The world likes to criticize. Well, you all say there's only one way to be saved. Yes, yes, we do. That's what the book says. But you know why there is only one way? Because that's how great it is. That's how magnificent it is. It is so great, so magnificent, that there's only one who can possibly save your soul. And that is Jesus Christ. It is so marvelous that it can never be merited. It is so marvelous that it can never be earned. So wonderful that it can never be purchased. People will argue. Well, you don't believe that someone can be saved by doing good. No, we don't. The Bible makes that very plain. And you know why you can't merit salvation? You know why you can't earn it? You know why you can't purchase it? Because it's so great. It speaks of its greatness. And you know why it can't be brought about by man? Because it's too great. You see, if you say that there is more than one way to be saved, that kind of lessens the greatness of it. If you say that there's some way that man can earn it, now you're really starting to bring it down. And if you say it's something that man can bring about, now you've removed the miraculousness about it. Salvation is so great that Jesus is the one and only Savior of sinners. In Christ Jesus is the power of salvation. In Christ Jesus is the ability. In Christ Jesus is the means of salvation. We that can identify with the people saved by the Lord, may we never, ever, ever forget who it was that saved our soul. Saved by the Lord. Secondly, a saved people implies a past desperate situation. Again, even if you take this to being saved from a burning building or being saved from drowning, no matter how you take this word saved, it speaks of a past desperate situation. A saved people, again, is a rescued people. And one that is rescued must be rescued by someone, but must also be rescued from something. A saved or rescued people presupposes a past state of suffering, a past state of misery, perhaps a past state of imprisonment. But it also presupposes a state of inability and helplessness. If you are saved from drowning, it means that you are in a state of inability. If you are saved from a burning building, you are in a state of inability and helplessness. Therefore, someone has to save you. So the very word implies a desperate situation, implies an inability on our part. It speaks of a past crisis. It speaks of an emergency. It speaks of something dreadful, perhaps something frightening, something very alarming, something very pressing, something very urgent. So we that are included in those words, O people saved by the Lord, I want us to think for a moment of our past, what we have been saved from. And if you cannot identify with a people saved by the Lord, what I'm about to say is your present. We that are saved, it is our past. But if you have not been saved by the Lord, what I'm about to say is your present condition. We were ensnared. We were bound. We lived in a horrible pit. We were ensnared and bound in spiritual death, in estrangement from God. And we lived a life without God, and we lived a life without Christ. We were enslaved and bound to our own sins, to Satan, and to the world. We were ensnared and bound to the dominion of an enemy power. We were helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. Not only were we helplessly trapped under this weight, the truth is we were sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction of sin, into the loss that sin brings, into the misery of sin and death. We were ensnared. We were entrapped. We were bound to a life, to a life of enmity against God, to a life of darkness, to a life of ignorance, to a life of blindness, to a life of hardness, to a life of rebellion against God, to a life of resistance and striving against God. This is where we lived. We were trapped there, ensnared and trapped in a life of ungodliness, in a life of unrighteousness, in a life of filth, in a life of vileness, and in a life of the abomination of sin. We were trapped in spiritual bankruptcy. We were trapped in spiritual ruin and misery and gloom. We lived in chaos and defeat and disgrace. And in this condition, hanging over our head was the condemnation of God. That hangs over the head of every unsaved sinner. No matter what you do, no matter how good of a time you have in this life, John 3 says you are condemned already. Hanging over your head is the condemnation of God. And there was no way that you and I could bring ourselves out of such a situation. Hanging over our head was the condemnation of God. And we were living life, and we were headed down the highway of eternal destruction, going further and further and further down that road every single day, getting closer to the end, which is destruction. That's where you and I that are saved, that's where we were. If you're here and unsaved, that's where you are. You're headed down a road. You say, well, my life seems to be going pretty well. My friend, I'm telling you, you're headed down a road that's going to end in destruction. Eternal destruction. And in this condition, our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being were securely held by the chains and the shackles of sin. The lost sinner, sin grips their mind. Sin grips their will. Sin grips their affections, their entire being. And no matter how hard they struggle, they can't break those chains and those shackles of sin. There was a past crisis for you and I that are saved. If you're not saved, there is a present Christless. And in this crisis, we were absolutely helpless in and of ourselves. The truth is, the harder we struggled to break those loose from those chains, the more we felt their grip. There's nothing more desperate. I've said this many times. There's nothing more desperate, nothing more pressing, nothing more urgent than one in sin, than the unsaved sinner trapped in sin. Thirdly, a saved people means a Savior. It means a past crisis, but it also means that a remarkable event has taken place. Oh, people saved by the Lord. Again, a saved people is a rescued people, which means that a rescue had to have taken place. You can't be rescued if a rescue did not take place. You cannot be saved if a saving did not take place. So these very words, O people saved by the Lord, speaks of an event that has taken place. It's not just an event, though. It is a very certain event. It is a very manifest event. Again, you're saved. You're rescued from a burning building. You're rescued from drowning in Lake Michigan. That is a manifest event. And when you are saved from sin, that is a manifest event. It's not something you're going to forget. So the very fact that we are a people saved by the Lord speaks of the fact that something very certain, something very manifest, has literally happened. It is something that we have personally experienced. So you cannot be a people saved by the Lord if that event of saving never has taken place. If you have not personally experienced it. I have never been saved from drowning from Lake Michigan. I have never been pulled out of a burning building. I can read of people that have been pulled out of burning buildings. I can read of rescues out on lakes and oceans. We can read of those things. But I haven't experienced it. But we're talking about something that I have experienced, being saved from sin. There has to be a personal experience. Don't mistake hearing about it for the event taking place. Without the personal experience of saved, you cannot be a saved people. Again, we can be raised in the church. We can attend church services all of our lives. We can even be active in the church. We can be raised in a Christian home. And if you die lost, your life was still better by being raised in a Christian home. Won't change your eternity one iota, but your life is better. You can incorporate all of the teachings of Christianity into your life. And you can raise your children by those teachings. And you can raise your children by Christian principles. And you can train them to act like little Christians. And you can know the truth. And you can be doctrinally sound. And you can give mental assent to everything written in this book. And you can agree mentally to everything that is written in this book and still not be a people saved by the Lord. Well, I was raised in a Christian home. Well, I'm glad you were, but unless you've experienced saved, you're still lost. I grew up in church. I'm glad you were. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I've been taught Christian principles. I'm glad. I believe what the Bible says. I'm glad. But that will not save your soul. That will not save a single individual. Satan deceives many into mistaking religion for salvation. He's an expert. He's an expert. We cannot afford to be mistaken on this matter. There has to be this event. If we're saved, there has to be this event. It had to occur. It had to happen. There had to be a rescue that took place in our life. Now, an event has to have a time and has to have a place. If someone saved out of a burning building, there had to be a time that happened, and there had to be a place where it happened. And if someone has been saved from their sins, saved by God, there had to be a day that that happened. There had to be a time. There had to be a place where this took place. You can't just go through life and say, well, I've just always felt saved. There had to be a time. There had to be a day. There had to be a place where your soul was rescued by God. And if there wasn't a day, if there wasn't a time, it's because it has not taken place. We read in 1 Samuel 14 and 23, now we realize this is talking about a different salvation, but the truth applies. So the Lord saved Israel that day. That day. Saved that day. Can you say that? You may not remember the exact date, but there had to be a that day when the rescue took place. If there is not a that day, it has not taken place. And that puts you in a very desperate situation. We need to remember that day. Now, I realize I'm not so foolish to say, I've heard people say it, I don't agree, that if you can't remember the day and the hour, you're lost. I don't agree with that. But I do remember the day, and I feel blessed that I do. But I realize that not everybody remembers the exact day. And I can understand that. I mean, God's dealing with your spirit. Believe it or not, you may not think about looking at the calendar that day. But you have to have a that day. You have to be able to go through that. You remember a day. You don't remember what date it was, but you remember a day. And you remember a place as well. That day, something more marvelous, more miraculous, than anything happened. The salvation of our souls. Again, the Bible records miracle after miracle after miracle. But there is no miracle as great or even on the same level as the miracle of the salvation of a soul. Think about that event. There was a definite time. There was a definite place. The day the Lord saved us, Spirit of God, we may not have known what was happening at the moment, but as we learn, we said, wow, that's what was happening. There was a day, there was a time, there was a place. When we came under the control, under the power of the Spirit of God, and He disrupted our lives. Whatever we were doing at that time, everything was disrupted. And He imparted life into our souls. We didn't know what it was at the time. But when He imparted life into our souls, here's what happened. It caused us to see. And it caused us to feel. I am a violator of God's law. I have broken the law of God. That life in our soul caused us to see and feel. Because I have violated the law of God, I'm so loathsome. I'm so vile. I'm so filthy. I'm so wicked. I'm so shameful. I can't stand myself. And that life in our soul caused us to begin to feel. It was a horrible feeling. The crushing weight of our sin just pressing down upon us. And it just pressing us further and further and further down. Causing us to feel the death grip of sin. The death grip of the chains and the shackles of sin. There had to be a time, there had to be a place that this happened. If you're saved. And as a result of our sins weighing down upon us, our hearts were filled with sorrow and grief. Over the fact that we were sinners before God. And we began to see and feel for the first time in our lives. I deserve condemnation. We began to see and feel the danger that we were in. And we began to see and feel the utter helplessness. And we felt a distress of soul. And we cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's all we could plead. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then remember what happened. We could barely get those words out. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God broke the chains. He broke the binding power of sin. And all the release, the chains that we were born in, the chains that we had lived our entire life in, they've been broken. There's no greater experience than when God broke those chains. Not only did He break the chains, He raised us up out of a spiritual grave. He brought us. He fetched us. He lifted us from under the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death. And out of the pit. And out of the depths of our unrighteousness. And darkness and on and on and on we can go. Bringing us out of these things. Delivering us. Freeing us. From the destruction, from the loss, the misery, and the sickness of sin. And delivering us from the curse of the law. Delivering us from the hand of divine justice. He plucked us from the fire. Have you experienced that? That's what happens when God saves a soul. People are in different places. It happens at different times. God can wake you up from a sound sleep and cause this event to happen. You can just be going merrily along your way and all of a sudden, bam, God stops you in your path and causes this to happen. You can be at work. You can be in school. You can be in the house of God. It doesn't much matter. You can be in the bar. You can be anywhere. And here it comes, the Spirit of God. But my point is that the event took place. And there was a time. And there was a place. Oh, what a miraculous event. What a miraculous event it was. And you may get up that day, as I did, and you may curse God, and you may be sitting there cursing God, and the Spirit of God shows up, and you experience all these things. That's why, don't give up hope on someone. They can sit in the house of God. They can spit upon you. They can curse you. I'm telling you, God can change that in a second. It's miraculous power of the Lord. Can we say with absolute certainty, with absolute assurance, that happened to me? I know what you're talking about. That happened to me. I was in such and such a place when it happened. These were the circumstances when it happened to me. I love to hear the story. I love to hear people tell the story under all different kinds of circumstances. But a miraculous event took place. So what does all this mean? A saved people. Oh, people saved by the Lord. As I've preached before, many times we take for granted, especially after we've been saved a while, we tend to take for granted what a miracle has taken place. I try to every day. I don't always succeed, but I try to every day go back to that day and relive it. You say, well, that's foolish. No, no, it isn't. I just love to live it over and over and over again. I don't like to go back and relive my lost days. I don't like doing that. And I try not to do that, to be honest with you. But I do like to go back to the day when the chains were broke. What happened? Well, the people saved by the Lord have passed from death unto life. And I'm sorry, but I just don't believe that you can pass from death unto life and not know about it. I just don't believe that's possible. We have been born from above. We in this country celebrate. We really have it kind of backwards, and I'm not preaching against birthdays, not at all. But we have it kind of backwards. We celebrate our birth into sin and don't think anything about the new birth. We were born from above. And that day, we were made anew. Sins were forgiven, blotted out, put away, and removed. And when that happens, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. We've been washed. Oh, the filth. I was 18 when the Lord saved me. That's 18 years of filth. 18 years of accumulation of filth. Some are saved later in life. But oh, the filth. And we've been washed from the filth of sin. And we were declared. Remember I said, if you're here and lost, the condemnation of God hangs over your head. That day I was declared not guilty. Not guilty. A guilty sinner declared not guilty. Because of what Jesus has done. We were reconciled to God that day. Think about it. Every friend that Jesus Christ has was once an enemy.
It's true of every friend that Jesus Christ ever had was once an enemy. But we've been reconciled. Accept it. In Christ. Redeemed from the curse of the law. Delivered from the power of darkness and from the wrath to come. We were made a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder we read, "Happy art thou, O people saved by the Lord." We obtained an inheritance. People can talk about earthly inheritance all you want. I've got you beat. Every child of God has an inheritance. And it's not an earthly one. We're rich beyond measure. We're partakers of Christ. We're complete in Christ. We're clothed in His righteousness. A people saved by the Lord is a people who have peace with God. They are citizens of heaven. They have sufficiency, whether they know it or not. They have sufficiency in all things. They have grace and abundant supply. They have access to God. Is it any wonder? Happy art thou. We have an unfailing intercessor. We have a sovereign God who works all things for our good. We have all of our needs supplied in Christ. And we are kept by the power of God. Fail every day. There is not a day that goes by that Dan Gordon does not fail God miserably. Every single day. Every day. But I'm kept by the power of God. So here we are, a people saved by the Lord. And though we live in a sinful, wicked, twisted, perverted, corrupt, vile, depraved world. A world filled with ditches. A world filled with traps. A world of death. A world of darkness. A world that is spiritually parched. A world under the influence of wickedness. A saved people by the Lord is a more than conqueror through Him that loved us. People saved by the Lord, they have a building of God, eternal in the heavens, a place prepared for them in glory. I go to prepare a place for you. I believe He's still preparing it. There is a prepared place. I have a glorious future. Every child of God does. The future of this country doesn't look too bright. But I have a glorious future. And so do you if you're saved. We're on our way to being forever with the Lord. So we read those words, "Happy art thou, O people saved by the Lord." Seems to me that if we've been saved by the Lord, we know who saved us. You see, if you're drowning out there in the lake and a stranger rescues you and you never know who that stranger was, I'll tell you this, you're grateful to him, even though you don't know who he is. But you and I know who saved us. There's no mistake about it. We know who we ought to be grateful to. We know who it is that saved our soul. And therefore, that ought to give us a great interest in Him. You know, if someone saves you from a burning building or drowning in a lake or whatever, and you know who they are, you're going to say, "If there's ever anything I can do, please let me know. Please let me know. I want to help you." And you know what else you'll do? You'll tell everybody you know, That guy there, he saved me from a lake one day. He pulled me out of a burning building. There's one who saved our soul, and we ought to tell everybody we know. We ought to tell everybody we know. You sit down next to somebody and they're drunk, or high on drugs or whatever, in adultery or fornication or whatever sin you want to name. You say, well, that's where I'd be too. But God broke those chains. And He can break yours too. He can break yours too. Seems to me that we ought to love the one who saved us. We ought to want to honor Him. We ought to want to thank Him and worship Him and praise Him. It seems to me that we ought to be a people in constant motion toward Him, always moving toward Him, desiring to be near Him, desiring to be identified with Him. God help us if we're ever ashamed of the one who saved our soul. I can give innumerable reasons why He should be ashamed of us. But He's never done a thing that I should be ashamed of Him. I should always be ready to tell whoever about the one who saved my soul. You ought to want to serve Him. He ought to be a priority in our life. So when we read those words, O people saved by the Lord, what amazing grace. What amazing grace. I'm a people saved by God all because of a Savior. I, a hell deserving sinner, am on my way to heaven. All because of a Savior. If you're here today and perhaps you can't identify with the people saved by the Lord, perhaps the message made you angry. I was angry too. The Lord can still save you. It can happen in a moment. You may go from here with absolutely no intent whatsoever. You may go from here trying your hardest to forget everything that was said. But I'm here to tell you the Lord can meet you wherever you're headed and save your soul, and I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way. All because there is a Savior, there is hope for you today. If you're here and lost, you've never experienced this, there's hope. There's hope for you. All because there is one who rescues. We read in Isaiah 45 and 22, and we'll close, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the Lord of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." And that is true. There is no other. There is no other one who can save your soul. So I pray that you and I that are saved, that we may go from here today a happy people because we're saved. Oh, there's a lot of events that can happen in a day that will bring us misery, that will bring us sorrow. That's why you need to constantly go back to that day. Because if that doesn't give you happiness, then you are in trouble. That'll always bring joy to your heart. We ought to be a happy people. There ought not to be a happier people on earth than a people saved by the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.